Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Prickly Sea Podcast for Monday, April 3rd. Here's the question. Where the hell's Janine? Janine is actually at our apartment waiting on a refrigerator. So I've actually, for the first time ever, we have a special guest with us, Eric Zorn, amazing columnist for the amazing Chicago Tribune.
Thanks. You know, are you sure she's not having lunch with another man?
She wouldn't do that. Like our vice president?
Violation of the Pence rules of
He's dining. Been getting so much crap for that, and I actually adhere to that same rule. I do not have lunch or dinner with single women. And many elected...
What about another married woman for business purposes?
You'd have to balance that, but it always seemed to me to err on the side of decorum. I mean, Harry Truman did the same thing. If a single woman came in and there was other people in the room, he'd leave.
I think, as a general rule, in a social situation, it's probably a pretty decent rule to abide by. But so many women are involved in the professional world, and it would be a career in hampering situation if someone couldn't become like an intern or a campaign manager for someone like Mike Pence because he wouldn't be able to dine with them or be alone in a room with them. I think that's what a lot of people are reacting to. It's not just the idea that I'm too much of a sexual being and these other people are too much of sexual beings in order to have this. But it's more of a sense of it ends up being something that blocks women from advancement. I mean, how could Harry Truman have had, a female secretary of state if he couldn't have had a private meeting with her?
Well, back then they didn't let girls do those things.
That's probably part of the reason. But,
I adhere to a lot of, just because for no other reason than you just don't want the rumors. I mean, you just want, did you see Stannis went out with that, the young intern? And you know what that means.
The only thing like that I've ever done, in terms of like setting a rule that's sort of different for men and women. And in fact, I think I did it for everybody just to make it a rule. So I used to teach up at Northwestern. I have office hours. And I would always make sure that the door to the room where I was meeting was open. Never, ever close the door to that room. It wasn't because I didn't trust myself or even didn't trust them. I didn't want there to be any possibility that anyone could ever say anything.
Right.
That would be untoward. And that's basically
But he does also, Vice President Pence also calls his wife mother.
Yeah, that's weird.
That has always struck me as really weird. Okay,
Left and right have come together on this.
So this week's Prickly City, we talked about, I get a lot of email and a lot of comments just saying, stop the whining, stop, he's president, just knock it off. I actually dedicated the early part of this week to him, to Carmen, who's my conservative half, just saying that she's going to stop whining. And
she had a hard time, though.
Yeah, you can't. It's hard. This is all consuming. It's every other day you get a tweet or some idiotic comment from this Cheeto-colored man-child.
I'm interested in sort of in general, over the sweep of the last year or so, how have your readers reacted to this? I mean, you've been very critical of...
Oh, yeah. And in fact, in the campaign, I'm one of the few people who will still stand up and say Gary Johnson was the right choice for the Chicago Tribune editorial page to endorse. That's who had my vote. Can I read you some comments?
Absolutely.
This will probably give you some idea of where we are. I guess this is Jim with a 2 in the middle of it. My mantra is, at least it's not Hillary. And Al Ducca. It's hard to read these names. Al Ducca responded, I see it doesn't matter if he destroys the country because it's your side doing it. Wonderful thinking there. And that's kind of been the discussion in the comments section, which is, at least it's not Hillary. At least it's not Hillary. Well, okay. And I didn't like her either. But
Hillary, a lot of people, this is a version of a conversation that my lefty friends and I have been having about, do we want Trump to quit in a huff or be impeached? And that would leave us with President Mike Pence. And President Mike Pence would be inhospitable to liberal views. He's got a very hard conservative record. I would much rather have Mike Pence or have George W. Bush come back. I would rather have even a Ted Cruz. I think these are people who are... who color inside the lines. And I know it's
well put.
It is, you know, fashionable to talk about them being extreme, and they I think politically, for my money, they are extreme, but they are not, you know, the kind of people who have a temperament that I consider to be dangerous. And this is my major problem. I mean, I have policy issues with Trump, obviously, but it's personality.
It's temperament
that are really really bother me. And we look at North Korea, a situation that is going to require a lot of finesse to handle. And I worry about that. I worry that he is going to impulsively. We're having later this week, Trump is meeting with President Xi Jinping of China. And is he going to say the right things and do the right things, or is he going to touch off a world war?
Look at his meeting with Merkel. Went from Germany, he wouldn't shake her hand. What is he, five?
Yeah, it was appalling. And then he wouldn't even meet with Mexico because Mexico said they weren't going to pay for the wall. And then there was this.
Well, and the whole thing. I mean, you read the reports, the aftermath of the health care bill, and the repeal and replace, and Trump was unable to cite any specifics of the bill. He was so completely and thoroughly unengaged in this process, and that's part of the temperament of the sort of broad.
Reagan was not a detail man, right? I mean, that's pretty well considered that he was not a detail man, but Reagan had a vision and a temperament that was much more suited to mainstream Republicanism and to being president of the United States than Trump. I mean, Trump is not a detail guy. I don't think Trump read that bill.
No.
I don't think Trump understood the bill. I don't think he understood the politics of it or the policy of it. I think he just wanted a victory. And I don't put much stock in this conversation that's come out this weekend. He had played golf with Rand Paul. And Rand Paul came off the course and said, well, we think we're the health care, you know, our American Health Care Act is not dead yet. We're going to still repeal and replace it.
Right.
I don't believe that. I don't think they are close to that because I don't think that there's a way that you can reconcile the two visions of healthcare within the Republican Party right now.
Well, the strip goes on that this week, and I reintroduced a sort of reoccurring character. Every few years, I bring back Opie the alien.
I love that theme, and it reminded me of a tweet that I saw, which was, aliens in 2017, take us to anyone but your leader. and the idea that you're dealing with here was like aliens would come down here and go, our planet. Yeah. I don't think we want to take over this planet.
No. We're good.
We're
good. And he's named Opie because we beamed out. They intercepted one of our TV signals, and it was the Andy Griffith Show.
Okay.
And they just loved. The joke when it was started was, so you got the name Opie? That's got to be rough. He says, tell that to my brother Aunt B. Boo-doo-doo. So we have some comments there. This is Tim Bob. 2313 writes, our current leaders look to see which way the mob is going, then jump in front and say, follow me. Jim Kerner, are you kidding, Winslow? Do you want me to be deported? Do you want to be deported? I'm not sure what that relates to, but, huh. Oh, so, now this is interesting. This is something about the strip and something about the creative process. This is to Elong Jensen. Just wondering, any reason to show that part of the globe and not the part with America on it? And I can't answer that.
Yeah, occasionally someone will say, I'm writing a column, and someone will say, why did you choose that word? Or why did you use that, you know, that sometimes I might say him instead of he or she or something like that. And I realize that I didn't even think about it. I was thinking about everything else involved in the creation of that paragraph, but not that particular pronoun.
My favorite discussion, I know you've had it, I know every columnist and cartoonist in the world has had this discussion. Someone calls you or emails you or whatever, however they can contact you, and they say, you did X, Y, and Z. And you go, well, actually, no, that's not what I meant. And they come back and they say, I know what you meant.
Yeah.
I go, wow. You're inside my head.
You're a mind reader.
Well, you're freaking me out, man.
Tell me a little bit about the difficulties you have in creating a script that is obviously so topical with the time delays that you have.
It's 2.5 weeks. When I'm writing today, as a matter of fact, I'm writing the dailies, finishing up writing the dailies today, which will run in about 2 weeks. So
the
I have
text
to
text day.
Well, and oh, it is. Wait, thank you. I should write that down.
Yeah, right. I think you'd have a big calendar or things like that.
You would think, wouldn't you? One would think this. One would be wrong.
But I mean, it's like it's possible this morning. You know, this morning that we're recording, Trump is coming out with these tweets attacking Hillary Clinton. I mean, who knows where he's going to go? Who knows what the country is going to be absorbed in? Which bonfire that he has set will be consumed?
Yeah, you could kind of guess. I mean, you know, and again, you and I, same boat. We write, we comment, and you can kind of guess where things are going to go. But in 2 weeks. Who the hell knows? We could be at war with, you know, Guam, which would be weird because they're our protectorate. But anyway.
That would be a very strange choice, but I bet we'd win that one easily. Yeah. Like Grenada would be another feather in our cap. But I mean, I have this problem even with a deadline at 3 o'clock for my column for the next day. And even then, I sometimes get caught between the gears. I wrote a column last week, real quickly. It was about a TV station had led with a story about a turkey hitting a windshield of a car in Indiana. And I thought, well, this is the end of local news for me. It was like the worst thing I'd ever seen, the worst news judgment I'd ever seen. Turkey hits the windshield of a car. No one's hurt except the turkey. And so I do this column. I turn it in, and I'm sitting there getting ready, packing up to go home. And Laura Weber, my editor, sits in the same office as I do, says, breaking turkey news. There was another turkey that hit a car in Indiana. And I was like, because I had the idea of making fun of it as being this really rare thing. So, yeah, you really, it seems like you really run the risk.
Oh, it's
when
you
have 2 weeks.
And the weirdest thing is, and I know this happens to everyone in our profession now, because we're kind of straddling the digital versus the print world, is the issue is dead. I'm trying to think of something that's happening. Think of an issue that's happening like today, the turkey issue.
Yeah.
Let's assume for a moment it got even more traction. People were talking about it. I'll think, okay, that's good for 2 or 3 days in the strip. 2 weeks from now, it is so far removed from our consciousness so quickly.
The Mike Pence thing that we were joking about earlier. I mean, in 2 weeks, people are going to go, oh, yeah, that was 2 weeks ago. It seemed like you would have a hard time. You'd have to really be able, if you're trying to get your mind around, kind of make a joke about this, you can do a panel for the Tribune because, you know, your deadline is just a few hours before it hits the porch in the morning. But when you've got 2 weeks, I would think that would be really a challenge. I got another question for you. It's like, I feel like I'm interviewing you, but okay. You know, there's this...
I'm glad you're curious. Janine's never curious about me.
Mallard Fillmore. Yeah. Is that what it is? I mean, there's a conservative strip.
Yeah.
I don't see that strip at all. I don't even know where it runs. Is it still exist? And if so, how has that artist dealt with this?
Well, it's all been, you know, the punchline for that. And, you know, far be it to me from make fun of other cartoonists, but I will. His punchline has always, that's because you're a liberal. Ha! You know, and after the 3 millionth time, but people like my aunt and uncle, who are 80 and 81 respectively, think it's hilarious.
Mm. But it still exists.
It's still with us. And it's still stridently conservative and just echoes the speaking points.
Well, I mean, you have to be able to pivot. It seems like someone in your situation, you have to be able to pivot around the political center, because you can't, if you're always on one side, if you're always hammering one side, then suddenly, you know, you can be in a situation where you've got someone who, in this case, I think you and I would agree with this, is kind of indefensible a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, like, yeah, that was good that he talked about. Let's make libel laws tougher. That's a good thing. You can't do that. So to be in a situation where you have, you know, your various characters who are able to represent different sides, and you can even show the war within yourself in your own psyche.
Well, that was the whole idea of creating Prickly City, is because I have a bad habit of trying to see both sides of an argument and saying that, okay, it's bad for a commentator in this day and age. It's gotten worse. You cannot, there's no middle anymore.
It is the case sometimes I'll sit down and write a column and there are a lot of issues where I like to say, well, this and this and this. And I feel like at the end, like the expression is, you know, you're peeing down both legs or something like that. And then it has this sort of feeling of like, you know, you're not really taking a stand. And then you read someone who is just, you know, does not have any ambiguity, has a really, really strong opinion. And then you look at their internet traffic numbers, and they're huge.
Yeah.
You say, maybe I should just come out and say, this is horrible, the worst thing ever. And, you know, the temptation is there because our culture, our media culture, rewards stridency and excess.
Yeah, and the current environment certainly does. Yeah. And it's tough because because of my attacks on the current administration, I've had my conservative card revoked. I never had a liberal card.
We revoked that very quickly, by the way. You had one, but we took it away.
Well, the weirdest thing, and then we're going to wrap this up, but the weirdest thing to me is that, you know, you and I can talk issues, and sometimes we get pretty heated on some things. And that's okay, but I never question your motives. And that's different. Yeah. Nowadays, everybody, you know, you're not just wrong, you're evil.
Yeah.
And there's something, and that takes us into political waters, of which I'm not sure there's any return.
Very hard to unsay some of those things, and very hard to bring somebody along to your point of view, or to at least see how you see things, if you start out from this extremely adversarial and hostile position. And you know, there's this business about, do we try to understand Trump voters? And I think that we do. I think the people who are making a big mistake is not understanding, trying to understand what's going on in these parts of the country and what people are wanting to hear, what people are hoping for, what they're listening for. You know, that you can get into these echo chambers. And one of the reasons that I value, first of all, our friendship, but I also value being able to sit around that table twice a week at the Tribune and around the editorial board table and listen to smart people discuss views and offer points of view. And I know they're all good people. And when they say something that I don't agree with, I can say, well, you know, I know that he's coming from a place that you know, he wants the best for this country just like I do. He just sees things differently, and to listen to him and have a conversation. Yeah. That's really valuable. And I think we are losing that when we have these, we're all in our silos. You know, when I go back and watch Fox, watch MSNBC, or listen to our various, you know, tendentious podcasts and so on. So, I mean, seriously, we have our, you frequently on us with the Mincing Rascals, and the idea behind that from the beginning was not to just have people who all agree with each other all the time, because there are a lot of podcasts like that where they'll sort of, yes, what a bunch of fine folks we are, you know, what a terrible person those other people are. So anyway,
well, I will leave it at that. Yeah, Eric Zorn, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy the new refrigerator.
Oh well, golly, you know we will. I hope it has an ice maker. Our last one did not.
Really?
Yeah. What is this? The Dark Ages? For crying out loud. Anyway, we also want to introduce someone here. We have a brand new producer. I'm going to totally screw up his name. His name is Brian Altime.
Brian Altimer.
Altimer.
Yeah.
Now, that's not you made that name up.
No. People think I have, but no. I got flak for it in the Marine Corps, so I was, you know.
How long were you a Marine?
I was in the Marines from 97 to 2001. They got called back to go to Iraq in 2002 and 03.
Wow, how many tours did you do?
Just one. I only did one.
Oh, God bless you. Holy cow. So which is harder?
I just got to work with Scott Stannis.
Which is harder, war or radio?
You know what? Radio, actually.
I don't think it's made shots at you, yeah. As they do here. Brian, thank you. I'm glad. Hey, welcome aboard.
No, thank you. It's good to be here.
And thanks for doing all this. Hey, listen, if you want to listen to or read more about Prickly City and keep up with the adventures of Carmen and Winslow, you certainly can at gocomics.com/Prickly City or go to scottstandis.com and leave a comment, and maybe we'll read it on the next podcast. Or you can actually email us directly at pricklycity@gmail.com. Again, thank you so much, Eric Zorn. Welcome aboard, Brian, and to all of you, thank you for listening, and until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.